many a Sunday school text years ago. Psalm 119,
you're
verse 105.
The land of my faith.
Yeah. And tonight we're being led through by the Hebrew letter Nun, which is N. And again, it's a helpful guide through these passages of Scripture to see which words come first in Hebrew. That, even from my mind, is the whole point of having an alphabetic psalm. It's not just something that took the poet's fancy, it's being put there by God.
That's right.
As these men wrote the Scriptures, they wrote the Scriptures under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of power and the fullness of inspiration. This is God's Word.
Thank you, Lord.
And Psalm 119 and verse 105 to 112. It says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, make me alive, O Lord, according unto your word. Accept, I beseech you, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from your precepts. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes, always, even unto the end." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, speak to us tonight through your precious word. Hallelujah. And in a way, this particular section focuses on I. I does come up again and again, but there's a particular focus on I, me. And for us, as we read it, as we look at this section, all aspects of the Word of God, as it affects us and as applied to our lives, we find in these Scriptures. The first word gives us a clue to the way in which the Holy Spirit would lead us in these Scriptures. The first part of this section speaks to us about lives that are founded on God's Word. The whole psalm is about God's Word in its many aspects, and the different words are used, whether it's Word, testimonies, judgments, instructions and so on. It's the Word of God. And lives that are founded on the Word of God are going to be prosperous lives.
Right.
Not in the way that those across the pond sometimes try to bombard us with prosperity, how to get rich quick. But we're talking about the prosperity of the soul. God's word always brings with it a revelation. It must do. The word that is spoken brings a revelation of what's in the mind of a person.
That's right.
And when God's word comes to us, it brings us a revelation of the will of God.
That's right. Amen.
And therefore we can respond to God's word in faith and receive what he's saying and do what he tells us to do. And lives that are built on the word of God will never fail.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. That's why this word is precious. That's why this Bible is precious.
Right.
That's why being filled with the Holy Spirit is precious.
Yes.
Because God speaks to us through his Spirit. And we can know the word of God in a real, living way. By the power of the Spirit of God, this written word of God can be made alive. To the unsaved mind, to the unsaved person, the unsaved mind, this word is basically, from Genesis to Revelation, meaningless.
That's right.
But when you're saved, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit overflowing, this word becomes alive and living.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And God enables us to live by this word. And the first word, it's two words hyphenated. It's done quite a bit in Hebrew. It's two words hyphenated. Lamp, my feet. This is bringing to our mind an aspect of the word of God. The word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Yes.
The word of God shows us the immediate direction we should be travelling. The immediate dangers, a lamp to our feet. We live in a world of spiritual darkness.
Right.
And our lives were once in darkness. But we came to Jesus, the one who said, "I am the light of the world.
Yes.
He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
That's right, glory.
Hallelujah, in John's Gospel. It's wonderful, isn't it? born again Spirit of God, who have the Word of God, we know where we're going. The worldly, no matter how many plans he might have for his future life, hasn't a clue how it's going to end up. But we're heading for glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to be with him. He's bringing us safe to glory. God's word, you see, gives us guidance for the immediate future, the steps immediately ahead of us, and to our path ahead.
Yes.
So that from here, although we can look at our immediate future, what we're going to be doing today and tomorrow, we also get a light for the future, so that our steps today don't lead us on a wrong pathway for the future.
That's right.
We've got a light for now and for the future. God's word. Oh, praise God. Glory. What a wonderful thing.
Glory.
It is. That's the word of God. The word of God. There are different words for word in Hebrew, and here it's dabar, which in our previous reading last week, the week before actually, in verse 89, it's that same word of God where it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's established. It can't be changed." Hallelujah.
Glory.
Rejoice in it. You see, this is a written revelation that God has given of a word which is established in heaven. God's will and God's purposes are established forever in heaven.
Amen.
And this is a written word that God has given to us. Have you noticed what's happening in the world today in Christian churches? There are those that stick to the word of God. But there are those that are abandoning the word of God.
Right.
It was okay for years ago in old-fashioned times, but we've got new revelation now. We've got new understanding of things. And some of the new understandings of things goes against what the word of God says. And they say, oh, those were for different times. God's word does not change.
Right.
It's settled forever in heaven. This word comes from heaven itself.
Glory.
In heaven
glory.
It's settled. Nobody can change it.
That's right.
It's established forever. You can't change it, I can't change it, the great theologians of the land can't change it, the devil can't change it, the angels can't change it, it's established forever in heaven.
Amen.
This written word is reliable.
Amen. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't believe people who say, oh, we don't go by that anymore, that's old fashioned, that's for the different times, different cultures and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's established forever.
Amen.
God says in Malachi, he says, I am the Lord, I do not change.
Right.
Hebrew says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today.
Glory.
And forever. His word is established. You know, you can't have faith in the word of God, this written word of God.
Yes.
If you've got somebody telling you, oh, it's changed, we don't believe that anymore.
Right.
It undermines faith.
Yes.
Faith can only be strong when you're convinced and persuaded that this word is established forever. You can't go wrong if you go by the book, by the Bible, by the word of God. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's settled in heaven. We're surrounded these days by spiritual darkness and moral darkness. Terrible. God's word brings light. Now back in Psalm 18 in verse 28 it says, "For you will light my lamp." In the Authorised Version it says, "You will light my candle."
Yes.
But it's the same word in Hebrew as we've just read there, the lamp. "You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness."
Yes.
"For by you I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall." Couldn't see me doing that these days. Spiritual. You know, all those obstacles the enemy would bring in our way.
Yes.
The Lord brings us through them and over them. Praise the Lord. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried."
Yes.
You want something, don't you, when you buy something that's been tested and tried.
Yes.
You don't want to buy one of those tumble dryers that's going to burst into flame. You want something that's tried and tested. God's word is tried and tested.
Glory.
Centuries of testimony establish and confirm that God's word is sure and God's word is true.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. And in the New Testament, for us now, in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light
yes.
that shines in a dark place,
yes.
until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts." Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We don't need to let darkness bring fear into our hearts and lives. We've got the light with the revelation of God.
Amen.
And we are moving to that day when we're going to be with the Lord. Jesus said, as I said before, that he is the light of the world. If we follow him, we won't walk in darkness. Feed on God's word. Live by God's word. Speak God's word. Don't regard the Bible as an old-fashioned book.
Right.
It's living. It's alive. It's relevant today, and as relevant today, if not more so than it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. And in the next verse, 106, we have from the psalmist a committed response to the Lord concerning his word. He said, I have sworn. He's sworn an oath. I have sworn. He's made a promise. And I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments.
Glory.
That's an interesting word. I have sworn.
Yes.
The root word in Hebrew is shavah. Shavah. And that's a word which means to be complete. To be complete. The psalmist wants to be complete.
Yes.
And he's made this oath. And the word for an oath comes from a word which means to be complete. Why does it mean to be complete? Because it's from a word which means seven.
Yeah.
Seven in the Bible is a number of completeness. Because
yes.
In 7 days God created the heavens and the earth. It was complete. And seven is always connected with that which is perfect. And so this word actually can be translated in a strange way. I have sevened myself.
Yes.
What do they call the seventh day of the week in Hebrew? We call it the Sabbath.
Yeah.
In Hebrew it's Shabbat. Shabbat. This is the word.
Yes.
The root word of sworn. It's a completeness there.
Yes.
Before the Lord. I'm not only saying that I will do your will, Lord, I am swearing an oath. I'm completing it. You know when Abraham had a conflict with Abimelech from the Philistine area?
Yes.
Abimelech had men that kept pinching Abraham's wells.
Yes.
He said, look, this well is mine. I dug it, or in the authorised version, I digged it. I dug it.
Yeah.
It's my well. And he gave, and he brought seven ewe lambs to Abimelech and said, this is my gift to you, that you will now acknowledge, this is my gift to acknowledge that this well is mine.
Yes.
There was a sort of oath sworn there. And they called the place Beersheba. Shabbat, that's the seventh year. Beersheba. Beer means well, it doesn't mean an alcoholic drink. Beersheba. And it means, in the Bible, in the authorised version, the well of the oath.
Yes.
But it can be translated as the well of the seven.
Yes.
The seven ewe lambs. You see, the psalmist is bringing himself before God, and in this attitude of completeness, the seven being a number of, in the Hebrew scriptures, of completeness, said, I want to be fully committed to you, Lord.
Yes.
All that you say, your word, I want to be committed to it,
yes.
Totally, 100%, sevenfold.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
There's got to be a little understanding there of the Hebrew attitude towards the seven, you see. We live with it. Week after week after week after week, we live with it. 7 days in a week. Does the world ever ask itself, well, why do we have 7 days and not 9 days? The French, I think it was just after the French Revolution, tried to change their weeks to 10 days in a week. Didn't work. Couldn't live with it. Didn't work. 7 days a week works.
Yes.
It's complete. Where did it come from? You read about it in Genesis chapter 1.
Glory.
We're going into 2. It's completeness. And completely committed to him. The well of the seven. Oh, God's word is perfect. Psalmist is saying to him, I will perform your word. I will keep your righteous judgments. I will do what you consider to be the best thing to do. Your judgments, Lord. Your judgments. We came across this word before, and it was last week. The Hebrew word mishpat. It means God's verdict on things. His verdict. He tells us what's right. He tells us what's wrong. We've got complete instructions from the Lord. This is right, this is wrong. Read his word and you'll find that God is telling you. This is right, this is wrong. This is right, this is wrong. And we can move in the power of that and be committed, as the psalmist was. Lord, I'm going to do what your word says. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. How is it with us? If we know the truth of God's word, we've got to perform it.
Glory.
We've got to do it. To do what it says. If we're to preach it, if we're to tell it to others, we've got to live it as well.
Yes.
Jesus said to his disciples,
yes.
Among whom, the world, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Yes.
There's a revelation. Not only has God given us light by which we can walk and live our lives,
yes.
but we now, filled with the Holy Spirit, born again of His Spirit, we also can shine forth the message of the Lord, shine forth the words of the Lord, shine forth the glory of the Lord in this world.
Yes.
Bringing to a world that lives in darkness,
yes.
the light of God's word, the light of the gospel,
yes.
the light of the way of deliverance and life in the risen Lord.
Glory.
Forgiveness and life. Paul spoke about holding forth the word of life. It's light to a dying world. It's light to a dark world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says to the Corinthians, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts."
Glory.
"To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ."
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, let's be committed to the word of God. More than that, let's do the word of God and live in that light. All the psalmist says in the next verse, "I'm afflicted very much. I'm afflicted very much." There's a message for the people who are,
yeah.
are preaching you've gone off the rails. If you're afflicted, you should be living in victory all the time. Well, we are living in victory all the time.
Yes.
We are. But sometimes we know trouble. Sometimes we know difficulties.
That's right.
I don't think there's one of us here this evening that can say, "No, no, no problems, no difficulties." There's always difficulties and problems.
Of course there is.
I'll tell you why. There's an enemy at work.
Yeah.
When we get to glory,
yeah.
it'll be different.
Hallelujah.
Now that we're saved, it's different from when we weren't saved. But we've still got the enemy. There are still problems. There are still those that are ungodly that will try to make life difficult for those that are the Lord's.
Amen.
Whether they be in government or whether they live down our street, there are those that want to make life difficult for the believer. Paul said these words in 2 when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He said, "All that will live," how many? "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution."
Yes. All.
Have you noticed in some of the churches today? That message is not recognised, is it?
No.
I'm not saying we should invite persecution. I'm not saying we should look for persecution. But it says there that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why does Paul say that? Because Paul knows there's an enemy at work.
Yes.
And the enemy at work will leave those that are not living godly alone. He doesn't need to deal with them. But those that want to live godly, he's going to try and make life difficult. We've got the light of God's word. No need to worry. You never lose your joy. Life can get difficult sometimes, but you'll never lose the joy. If you're trusting the Lord, it will never overcome you, it will never defeat you. Paul says, as he wrote to Timothy, he said, persecutions, in fact, this is the verse before, persecutions, he said, I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Yes.
Persecutions, read the Acts of the Apostles, read what Paul went through. You wouldn't want to live his life. You might want the glory bits, but if you read it, I wouldn't have liked to have gone through what he went through. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a whole list there of things. No, thank you.
Yeah.
But he says, out of the Lord, out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Oh, what does he say? He said, I'm afflicted very much. Lord, make me alive. Quicken me. How? According to your word. Here it is again, the word of God. And if we want a bit of encouragement, here's another bit of encouragement from Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment,
yes.
works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Yes.
Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Lord.
Or says the psalmist, quicken me, make me alive.
Thank you, Lord.
Within, according to your word. And when God's people of old were afflicted, Isaiah 63 says, in all their affliction, the Lord was afflicted. He bore it all. When we think about the cross and Jesus, all our sin, he bore it all. He bore the punishment for us. Quicken me according to your word. Except, he says, The free will offerings. It's the free will offerings that begin. The free will offerings of my mouth. The spontaneous free will offerings of my mouth.
Yes.
A willing agreement with and an assent to God's word and the yielding of all to God. These are the free will offerings. It indicates, in the Hebrew word, which I'll come to again in a minute, it indicates a willingness.
Yes.
These free will offerings, it's a willingness to do God's will and to live by his word.
Yes.
Accept my willing service. I have sworn. Teach me your judgments. That word mishpat again. Teach me what's right. Teach me what's wrong.
Yes.
In your sight, Lord. Not what my estimation of it is. Don't get the estimation of the world.
That's right.
Is this right or is this wrong? Get guidance by the word of God. Get guidance by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Get God's judgments on the things. Is this right? Is this wrong? And live by it. You see, it says in Psalm 110, and verse 3, and it's the same word that's used here as it's used for free will offerings. It says, your people shall be willing.
Yes.
That's it. The willing assent will be willing in the day of your power. Oh, hallelujah. They must be willing for the Lord today. And you see in these verses, as we come to the final four verses here, these four verses that we've looked at so far are verses about the psalmist living in and by the word of God. All that we need is there, you see. All that we need is there. Founded on God's word. But he brings us to a few perils. And you know, for all the perils in life, and the problems in life, and the difficulties in life that we might have to face, there's a remedy in God's word. There's an answer in God's word.
Yes.
My soul is continually in my hand.
Yes.
What's he saying? He says, there are problems.
Yeah.
There are problems coming across my pathway in life. My soul is continually in my hand. There are dangers, there are perils, there are threats. He says, but I do not forget your law, your Torah, that
yes.
written word of God.
Yes.
I don't forget it. Don't forget it. Trust the word of God and you won't have to give up. Praise the Lord. We're on that upward path. And if we keep the word of God ever in our hearts and minds, we'll be assured of victory. He said, the wicked have laid a snare for me. What's the first word? It's have laid. It's laid before me by the wicked. Those are the ungodly. The world is full of the ungodly people around us.
Yes.
We pray that they might repent. We pray that the light of the gospel might reach their hearts. But until it does, they're ungodly. Their thoughts are different from the thoughts of the Lord. And they're against the Lord. The wicked have laid a snare for me. You know why? Because that's what the devil does.
Yes.
It's the work of the enemy. It's the work of the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to be careful, to beware
yes.
of the wiles
yes.
of the enemy. The wiles of the enemy. In fact, this snare that's been given by the wicked, cast by the wicked, put down by the wicked,
yeah.
it's a word in Hebrew which means a netting, a sheet of netting, if you like.
Yeah.
It's a sort of trap where it's a sheet of netting there, but when you step into it, and you're whipped up into the air, you're caught. You can't get out. And that's what people try to do that are working against the Lord. That's what the devil tries to do.
Yeah.
And Paul warns in Ephesians 6, he talks about the wiles of the devil. Can we do it? Yes, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yes.
Put on the whole armour of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Do you know what that word is in the New Testament, in Greek? The wiles of the devil. You might recognise the sound of it. It's methodia. Methodia. Method.
Yeah.
Method.
Method.
You'll come across lots of methods
the enemy.
In churches. The right way of doing things. There's only one way that's right. It's the Lord's way. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Beware of the wiles of the enemy. Yet the psalmist says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from your precepts. There's the guarantee for us.
Yeah.
Go by God's decisions.
Yeah.
His precepts. We find in the word. As he shares these things with us by the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I erred not from... Don't err from the precepts. That word err is translated in another... In verse 176 of the psalm. Gone astray.
Yes.
Psalm 176. Wandered.
Yes.
It's wandered. So it's going astray. It's wandering. It's erring.
Yes.
It's very easy for... Christians, if they're not paying attention to the word of God and are not listening to what the Lord is saying and are listening to all that the ungodly world around is saying,
yes.
to err from the right pathway.
Of course it is.
To wander off, to go astray. Keep to the precepts, the commands of God. what he has shown, what he has revealed. That's the safe road. That's the word of God. And the psalmist says it's a heritage. This is the first word in the sentence again. It's a heritage. It's an inheritance for me. What is a heritage? What is an inheritance? Your testimonies, the witness of all that you have done and said, is a heritage for me forever. They're the rejoicing of my heart. That's what I rejoice in. It's the safe journey. It's the safe way to go. The word of God. Not something which you have to endure. I know sometimes I feel a bit like that when I'm reading Chronicles. It's just list after list after list of names and names and names and names, some of them quite unpronounceable. I think, Lord, is there something in this for me?
Yeah.
And one day, sometimes, there will be that revelation. There's something there. God's word is the safe route to take. God's word can be our inheritance. All that we need is in there.
Glory.
Forever.
Yes.
They're the rejoicing of our heart. Here's a test. To the new creation in Christ Jesus. Those who are born again, those who are regenerate persons.
Yes.
That's a nice word, isn't it? Regenerate. Just means born again. Those who are born again of the Spirit of God and are alive within by His power, by His Spirit. God's word, His written word, God's word is lively, it's stirring, it's joyous, it's our rejoicing.
Yes.
And the psalmist said, it's my rejoicing of my heart. For those who really don't know the salvation of God, who have gone away from walking in the Spirit of God, the Word of God becomes dull and boring and old, and we have to. But when you are alive in the Spirit of God, and you're moving in the Spirit of God, God's Word is precious. There are hidden treasures here. Sometimes you've not noticed them, but as you read through the Word of God again and again and again, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you discover treasures that you didn't notice before.
Right,
it's a rejoicing. It's not a bore. It's not a chore. It's a delight. It's our inheritance.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Therefore, I have inclined my heart. I have bent down my heart in submission, if you like, to the word of God, to you, Lord. I have inclined my heart. I've bent down. I think in verse 36 of the psalm it says that he has bent down his heart for the Lord. He has not lifted up his heart against God. He has not lifted up to covetousness. We need to bend our heart, our attitude to the word of God, to perform the statutes, the commands, the word of God, to do what he has said. Not to earn favour with God.
That's right.
But because by the power of the Spirit we can, and it's the better life, and it's the better life to live.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes, how long? Always, even unto the end. That's interesting. It's a word that's also translated elsewhere in the psalm as the reward.
Yes.
That's what comes at the end.
Yes.
For the believer. The reward. Psalm 19 verse 11 says, moreover, by them, the word of God, the commands of God, is your servant warned, and in keeping of them, that's the word of God, there is great reward. Same word.
Yes.
The time of the end, there is great reward. Can I read a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 10 as I finish? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, 36. It says this. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise.
That's right.
Good. I think that patience is something we have to have right the way through this life, but at the end, there's reward.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And 11 and verse 26, it says this. Hebrews 11, verse 26. It's talking about Moses, who in Egypt chose to associate with the people of God and not with his upbringing as an Egyptian.
Yes.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt.
Yes.
For he had respect unto the recompense
of
the reward.
Glory.
The end.
Thank you.
What you've got now, if it's not of the Lord, will end in disaster.
Yes.
What we have now in the Lord might not seem much compared with what the world is doing. Depends how we look at it. But it is going to end in great reward.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Urban.
Keep faithful on the pathway.
Yes.
When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. He alone has power to keep. Well, why don't we see?